All right, no, we're in a series of Acts, and I get to do the S part of Acts, which is represents Spirit, and so we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. But before we do that, I'll open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I welcome you to this place, Lord. Not that you're not already here, but we just welcome you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this church, Father. Lord, I just want to pray right now that all that noise and everything that would come in here, Father, in our heads, Father, that we just come in here and we have all those things going through our thoughts, Father, I just pray right now that you can just clear our minds, Father. Clear our minds, Father, so that we can just begin to, together as a body, Father, just as one body and one spirit together, we can just dive into your word and dive into a message today, Father. I just pray that you speak through me, Father, that that it's your voice speaking through me, Father. And Lord, I just pray that this day just may honor you. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I ask that you just give us clarity today, Father. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit does work this day. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? And I think it's important to kind of set a foundation before I jump in. You know, the goal today is to set a foundation, to kind of revisit those basic foundations that we talk about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, why, where does it come from, why? And then we'll jump into, like, the two steps I have, how to live by the Spirit. So, but first of all, if you have a Bible, if you want to look up on the screen, let's go to John 5, John 16, 5 through 15. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin and because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I spoke. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So we have a foundation scripture of Jesus here in the Gospel of John talking about what is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, you know, and you can see here that Jesus is saying, you know, I'm leaving, you know. And the disciples are like filled with grief, like, no, Jesus, you're awesome. You know, we don't want you to leave. And he's like, he says, no, but it's a good thing. Because the Holy Spirit's coming, you know, and this gift, this counselor. And we can see again, if you guys want to, in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we can see here, even in the beginning of Acts, so Jesus comes back after he dies, and he's talking to the disciples, and he's like, be patient, my God's going to send you this gift. He's going to send you this gift that talks about in Acts 1, 4 through 5, which is obviously the Holy Spirit. So now that we have a little scripture to understand why the Holy Spirit, you know, where the Holy Spirit comes from, and just a little background there, one of the questions that always entered my heart was, okay, I've read about the Holy Spirit, and I've read about the Spirit in the Old Testament. So why, when Jesus came, did he bring the Holy Spirit again? I thought the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament too. Like, you know, these don't make sense. And so I ask you, you know, one of the questions I ask myself, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Old Testament and the New Testament? And there is nothing. Holy Spirit is the same. Difference is not the Holy Spirit, rather who can access the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, you saw priests and prophets and judges and kings who were able to access and hear the voice of God. And you could definitely see that when you went to hear from God, you went to a priest and say, hey, what's God saying? Or if you want to get forgiven of your sins, you go to the priest and say, hey, I need to sacrifice a lamb, or I need to sacrifice an animal. We need to, you know, for this sin. I need to sacrifice it. And then the New Testament. Then Jesus came. This is where it gets good. Because Jesus come, He dies on the cross. And the difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament is just this. That the fact that we all now can have personal relationships with Christ. We don't need a priest. We don't need to sacrifice an animal to be forgiven. I don't think. No, I'm just kidding. We don't need to sacrifice an animal to be forgiven. Because Jesus was that ultimate lamb. When Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, that Holy Spirit is not different, but rather the fact that we all have the access to do it. If you think I have any more access to the Holy Spirit, or Pastor John has any more access to the Holy Spirit because we're standing here, or because, you know, I've spoken a couple times in the past year, you're nuts, because you have just as much access to the Holy Spirit as Pastor John does, and as any pastor does. Which is cool because God desires that intimacy with each one of us. So, we definitely can see that prophesied that you know, that's the reason the fact that the Holy Spirit can be accessed, anybody can have access to the Holy Spirit. We can see that in Joel 2:28-29. And afterwards, so this is prophesied about Jesus. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. He doesn't say on some. He doesn't say just on priests. He says on all people, I will pour out my Spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So you can definitely see it's prophesied. It's also prophesied in Ezekiel 39:29. Okay, now is where it's time I need audience participation here. I need a volunteer. And I was looking at Cassie. Come on up here real quick. All right, so here's what's going to go on, Cassie. When I point to you, this is Cassie, by the way. She goes to Heidelberg. Then you can come up here. When I point to you, I want you to read, okay? All right, so let's put up those first scriptures. First two slides. I'll read the first two slides. You get the third one, okay? So we're going to read about the first time the Holy Spirit was able to access the Holy Spirit, which is in Acts chapter 2, 1-13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in the bewilderment, because each one had heard the speaking in his own. He heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" So you ready for this? This is where you're going to go. Ready? Go. I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm not going to make you read that, all right? I think it's important to have humor in the messages. You can sit down. Yeah. Now, I'm definitely not going to read that, because we'd be here till tomorrow night for me to get the pronunciations right. All right. But if we skip down to verse 11, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. And you can see, what's going on here. Okay, so this is the first time after Jesus left, first time that the Holy Spirit came, day of Pentecost, right? And all these men are worshiping God, and they all get this ability to praise God. They're all praising God in different languages. Okay, how weird is that? That it was prophesied that all people will be able to access the Holy Spirit, because I'll pour out my Spirit on all my people, and Joel, however you like to pronounce it. But it's prophesied, and then right here, what would be a better, perfect way to have the first sign of the Holy Spirit as the new, or kind of like the Holy Spirit that everybody can access, right? Then for everybody to be speaking in all these different languages, so every nation and every tongue has the ability now to have that relationship with God. That is a significant first time for the Holy Spirit to be accessed. And you can see again in Acts 1:14-17, where Peter quotes Joel. So much having problems getting back there. But basically it says the same thing that men will... Oh, here we go. Well, I'm not reading that. Alright. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who lived in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God will pour out... I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So it's important to understand that, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, the background of the Holy Spirit before we get into the how to live by the Holy Spirit. So now, like I was saying, we got a little background on the Holy Spirit. Now, what the question is, one of the biggest questions I've always had in my life is, how do I walk with this Holy Spirit? They say that this Holy Spirit is powerful. They say that this Holy Spirit is awesome and does things, but how do I walk with this every day? You know, because I've been in the Holy Spirit for an hour or two. I've been in the Holy Spirit, you know, for 15 minutes or half an hour, but how do I walk with it 24 hours a day? How do I be in this Holy Spirit constantly? Well, there's two steps here. The first step to living by the Holy Spirit can be found in Psalms 51, verses 10 through 19. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. This is cool right here, verse 11. Do not cast from me your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. David's crying out here. He says, do not cast from me your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Here 16 to 17 are great. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be the righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. You can see as David in the first part of that passage that David's crying out to the Lord. He says, Lord, I love your presence. And we all love being in the Lord's presence. Isn't it crazy how even when we come to church and we're in the Lord's presence, we're in the Holy Spirit, like, wow, man, I want to change the world. And you ever notice when you go home, and sometimes you go home and you sit down for a couple hours and you be like, man, I just don't feel like I did this morning. This morning I felt like, man, I want to let the Holy Spirit work through me. I want to change my life. I want to do all these things. But now I don't feel like that. So you can see, obviously, that David wants that Holy Spirit in the presence. If you can bring up that last scripture again, you can see in verse 16 and 17, though, you do not delight in sacrifice where I bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. And here is the key, the first step to receiving that Holy Spirit. And that's, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. It's important to understand that God doesn't want you to do good things for Him first. He wants you to be broken before Him. We can see that in many brothers and sisters throughout the Scriptures and testimonies that especially with Acts 9, we read through Acts 9 as a group, or Acts as a group last weekend at Heidelberg. In Acts 9, it talks about when Paul was blinded and he couldn't eat or drink for 3 days. Talk about being broken, humbled. God's constantly humbling people because when we get humbled and we humble ourselves before the God, all that noise that we have in our lives, all that stuff that we have in our lives is gone. God has to break us. God has to, we have to be humbled before we can walk in His Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about, make it known that I'm not just talking about confessing your sins. That's a big part of brokenness. But I'm not just talking about confessing your sins. A lot of brokenness is just realizing that God and Jesus Christ is it. That is all you need. Realizing and having a reverence that God and Jesus Christ are the best thing since sliced bread. To realizing that Jesus Christ die on the cross for your Savior. To really take that in. I think we get so wrapped around with so much knowledge today that we forget the main point. Can we just meditate a little bit on the fact Jesus Christ died and rose again? Because we will never totally understand that. But when we do, that's when we're starting to become broken. Because when we start to become broken before the Lord, that, you know, like I said before, it's not just about confessing your sins. It's about coming to Him and recognizing that He is awesome. All right, so I have, it's not a, kind of looks like a science experiment, but it's not. I have a glass, and this represents each of our lives. Every day we wake up, this is what we look like. Because every day we wake up, I don't know about you guys, some days we know, some days are bad, we wake up, pop our heads off the pillow, and we're like, woo, it's a great day to be alive. But you know, we all pop, you know, a lot of us wake up, and I know we, most of the time we wake up like this, we have that flesh and that gunk on the inside of us. Right? And this stuff represents the noise and stuff in our lives. And another word for brokenness would be empty. To empty yourself before the Lord. So, every day when we come before Him and enter that first step, when we come before Him and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to become broken before You. I'm going to empty myself. All right, 2 for 2. Let's see if I can go 3 for 3. I didn't spill anything. But when we empty ourselves, all right, this is where it gets good. Okay, we empty ourselves. We've done the hard part. Okay, because that's usually the hard part in this process of living by the Holy Spirit is emptying ourselves. We each have an ugly side to us. That we all have an ugly side that we're just kind of like, I don't really want people to know about this. We each have that ugly side about us that we don't want people to know. And when we empty ourselves. When we empty ourselves, what we're doing is we're giving that ugly side to God. We're giving all that brokenness, and we're humbling ourselves to the point where, okay, Lord, I'm out of the way now. Now You can live through me. The next step, the second step to living by the Holy Spirit is just like found in Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. It's more of the second part here, which says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And all we have to do is ask. That's all we got to do. Because when you get to that state of brokenness, when you get to that state where you're empty before the Lord, He will fill you. He will fill you. Trust me, for 4 years, I lived in a temporary Holy Spirit. For the past 2 weeks, I've been seeking the Lord out, trying to live every 24 hours by the Holy Spirit. And I've never been happier in my entire life. But what does it take? It takes me being broken before the Lord. It takes me constantly, okay, because there was one day I know I was broken at least 30 times. Coming before God, I was like, God, I'm sorry for this. You know, I'm sorry that I'm this way. I'm sorry I'm flesh. And I get up to, you know, go, you know, praise Him. And He's like, no, get down again. Okay, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for this and all this. And then I get back up again and say, Lord, am I ready to worship? And he said, no, get down and be broken again. And, you know, when we constantly break ourselves throughout the day, constantly take those 5 or 10 minutes to say, Lord, I'm an idiot, Lord. I'm sorry. That's exactly when God fills us with the Holy Spirit. Because that's exactly when we get ourselves out of the way and God replaces our junk, replaces it with the Holy Spirit. You like this little shindig here I got going? The Holy Spirit with the bottle is pretty cool. I was proud of it this morning. I was proud of it. So this is when God pours into us. And you can obviously see the difference. The difference between all that color and all that junk in our lives, and now just how happy and how clear it is. Just that cleansing, you know, that purity. And then the greatest thing happens here in Colossians 1:29. This is what happens. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. This is when He starts working through us. No, I know it's a lot. A lot of times when I do ministry or whenever I do something for Christ, I would do it. I would do everything for it. And that's not saying that we can't organize. That's not saying we can't plan ahead. We're not saying that we can't do all these things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we empty ourselves before the Lord, He fills us with the real Holy Spirit, so we don't have to fake it. When we go, I know one thing for me is how to represent Christ in the classroom. How to represent in the classroom, or how to represent Christ in your workplace. But when we empty ourselves before Christ, when we constantly say, Lord, I'm broken before You, He fills us, and then not only does He fill us, but then He does the work through us. Because He fills you, and you're so happy with Jesus, so filled with Christ, and so filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can't keep Him inside, that He just comes out of you, indirectly or directly. Whether you say Jesus loves you, or whether you say sister, you look beautiful today. Or whether you say brother, you're a good friend I have. You know, whether it's encouraging or whatever it takes, God will spill out of you as we begin to fill Him with our spirit. And He'll spill out of you into those gifts that are on your life. But I feel like so many times we do it through our energy. And to fully understand, we have to empty our total self to let God fully work through us. That's exactly the point when we become and start experiencing the fruits of the Spirit, which are joy, love, peace, and all those other ones in Galatians 5:22. And when we start experiencing those, because I know that there's times in my life where, in weeks and days, where I'm just like, I'm not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. You know, like, I'm just, what's wrong? Like, I feel like I'm praying to God because I hadn't emptied myself. I hadn't bowed down to Him and recognized that He is it. I encourage you, though, to have patience in this process. I encourage you to take, you know, these steps and understand that every day is going to be a different level. Every day you're going to try to empty yourself and to have patience, because God, He keeps filling you more and more. And I want to conclude with this chapter, or this verse, these verses in Isaiah 6. It says, in that year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy is the Lord God, the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Here's what Isaiah, he's saying that, listen to Isaiah here. He says, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Notice that in Isaiah 6, that before he could go, before he said, here I am, send me, he had to say, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man that is ruined. And what does that mean in our terminology today? Lord, I'm a turkey. I'm a dumb. I'm an idiot. So come before the Lord and say, Lord, I need You. And when we do that, when we become to empty ourselves, then the Lord says, here I am. Then the Lord says, whom shall go? And then that's when we say, here I am, Lord, send me. Because then that's when the Lord is fully working through us. But first, we got to, as we individually break ourselves, and as a group, as we come together as a church, it's so important to remember that we need not only to break ourselves as individuals, but as a church, we need to be broken together. When we come together on Sundays and we come together on Wednesdays or whatever during the week, we need to be broken before each other. Because that's when God starts working through the church. That's when God starts doing the things that He does in Acts, through the church in Acts. Like I told you, I went through so many years, without living by the Spirit 24/7. It was hard. Like, there was a lot of effort, like a lot of, you know, of me trying to get, and I told you, I tell you, I think eventually if I would have kept on that path, I would have become burnt out with God. But when we empty ourselves before Him and when He does the work through us, number one, it's a lot better. And number two, it's a lot easier. Because when you start to see what God does through you and God speak through you and God do all those gifts that you have through you, wow. And I was telling you that I didn't even know I had this gift. You know, I always knew I liked people and liked talking to people. But one of the gifts that God's put on my heart is to be an encourager. And maybe that doesn't mean directly saying that, you know, you need Jesus or Jesus is Jesus loves you, or maybe not directly say that, but I know it's on my heart for the past week and a half for sure, that every time I talk to somebody, one of the things that keeps popping in my head because of God, because I've been emptying myself constantly throughout the day, taking 5 or 10 minutes to say, God, I'm a dinker, Lord. I'm a dingo. And then constantly doing that throughout the day. And that's when God starts doing a lot. I mean, He's been encouraging people through me. And that's when I really start to see God do the work through me. And how important it is for a church that when we come together, not just to come together and listen to a message, but to come together and be broken with each other. To come together and encourage each other. And I encouraged Pastor John last service. And I encourage him again. I see the reverence he has for God in his heart and how he is constantly being touched by God. Coach Moore, coach obviously for me in my two years for football. And I can constantly see God working in Coach Moore. And Coach Moore, I encourage you to keep walking with the God because you are going to do good things for him. You know, in Scott Urban, God's doing great things for you. And I can look at each person in here and be able to encourage you, not because I want to do it, but because God's doing it through me. And that's the greatest thing about His Holy Spirit. That I've tasted the fake Holy Spirit, and it's nowhere near the real Holy Spirit. When you taste that real burning and fire on the inside of you, man, you'll never go back. So we're going to take this, I'm going to close this in prayer here. Now, I want you to take a couple minutes here, and I'd like you to switch. I like you, if you're on this side, I want you to go over here, and I want you to encourage somebody over here. And if you're on this side, I'd like you to go over this side. I'd like you to encourage somebody over here. I know, you know, like, you're thinking, well, I was just going to come and listen to a message and then go home. You know, that was what I was planning. But I think it's important for us as a church to come together and to encourage each other. It's important for us as a church, like I was mentioning before, to be broken for each other. And so I encourage you, if you want something prayed about, go get somebody, go get prayer with the church. I encourage you, if you want to go encourage somebody. Let's encourage each other. Let's let church be a time, because we're family. I mean, when it comes down to it, we're family. We love, you know, we're supposed to love each other. It's hard sometimes, I know, but let God love each other through you. So let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for how good you are in my life, Lord. I thank you that you never stop running after me. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can gather this morning, Father, because there's no other place than where I want to be right now than with my family, Father, in the church. And Father, may this be a place where people come in and where we come together every week or twice every week. And when we come together, Father, may this be a place, may this be a time where we encourage each other, Father. Not just hear a message and not just get taught, but to encourage each other and to pray with each other, Father. Just like the church in Acts, Father. Lord, I pray right now that you just fill us, Lord, with your real Holy Spirit. And how great, Lord, is it that that every single person in here can access that this day. That you don't have to be a minister. That you don't have to be a prophet or anything like that. But rather, you just have to ask. Lord, I just pray this over this church, and I just encourage this church. I encourage each one of you, by the name of Jesus Christ, to keep walking, church. Keep going, church. And I seal all this by the name of Jesus. Amen. So I encourage you to encourage each other. Sounds funny. But encourage each other and take this time right now to intermingle and to encourage each other and to pray with each other, because that's what the church is about. Amen.